like we're under some big circus tent, watching the various acts come into the center ring. Those acts of potential presidential candidates who are trying to do everything they can to get our votes. And this year, we've seen Mitt, and we've seen Newt, and Ron, and Rick go, first of all, to Iowa, and then to New Hampshire, and then on to South Carolina. There have been some casualties along the way. Michelle Bachmann is gone. Rick Perry fizzled out. And John Huntsman just faded away. And now, we're coming to Florida. And in the midst of this, don't we try to listen, to understand, to sift through all the political posturing and rhetoric to try and discern the message, their message, in light of the message that's starting to come from our incumbent president? Now that I've been to the circus, this kind of circus, a few times in my years, I've come to realize this, that the whole election process can be summed up in this word, authority. Authority. This nomination process is us choosing the authoritative voice of whoever represents this party's views and that party's view. And then we're going to kind of come together to elect that one person who is then going to have the authority to express all of our views and to lead us. And it doesn't seem to matter which candidate is speaking. Their message is clear. It's the same thing. Vote for me and not that other guy. Okay? I'm the one who really knows. I know what's going on. I've got the answers. I've got the authority. I've got the solution and the answers for poverty and for sickness and for war and for getting the economy going again, for environmental issues and so on. And let's face it, that's exactly what we want in our lives. We want authoritative answers to our nation's and our world's problems. And that's why we hope for and why we put up with this every 4 years. We want an expert. We want a specialist. We want authority. And how different were those people sitting in the synagogue in Capernaum, listening to Jesus? How different were they from us today? I don't think a whole lot. But you see, we all want authority. So if you have your Bibles, you can turn to that in Mark chapter 1 or look up on the screen. As we read, Mark tells us that Jesus and his four freshly minted disciples who he had just picked up, they went to Capernaum, and on the Sabbath, he entered the synagogue and taught. And the people were astounded at his teaching, for he taught them as one having authority, not like the scribes. Ouch. Did you get the ouch there? For the local scribe and rabbi sitting in that synagogue, those comments must have stung. What is it? Here's this new rabbi teacher from who knows where. He comes waltzing into their ministry place, into their synagogue, into the place where they have been teaching and expounding and wrestling with God's law for all this time. And what do the people do? What do they say? He has authority, not like you. Authority. The dictionary describes it as the right or the power to enforce rules or give orders. The power to act on somebody else's benefit. An official permission to do something. Perhaps you've heard the story of Governor Christian Herter of Massachusetts, who was running hard for a second term in office. One late afternoon, he arrived at the church barbecue exhausted, and he was famished because that particular day he had skipped lunch. So as Herder moved along the serving line, he held out his plate to the woman who was serving the chicken, and she put a piece on his plate and then turned to the next person coming down the line. "Excuse me," Governor Herder said. "Do you mind if I have another piece of chicken?" "Sorry," the woman said. "I'm supposed to give one piece of chicken to one person." "But I'm starved," the governor said. "Sorry," the woman said. "Only one per customer." You have to understand, Governor Herder was this kind of quiet kind of guy. He was unassuming, but this one time he decided to throw his weight around for just a moment. So he said, "Do you know who I am? I am the governor of this state." "Well, do you know who I am?" said the woman. "I'm the lady in charge of the chicken." "Move along, Buster." Now, this is the kind of authority, right? We recognize this. But you see, in the New Testament, there was a different nuance to the whole idea of authority. Exousia. It has a bit of a meaning of the freedom of choice, the liberty of doing what one pleases. And see, this becomes clear as you drill down on this verse, as you realize that the way the rabbis and the teachers often employ their method of teaching was that they felt that it was that they were kind of the guardians of Jewish tradition and Jewish interpretation of the law. And so when they would teach, they didn't teach like our teachers do today. They would teach more about quoting other teachers or interpretations. So they would often say, "Well, Moses said this, da-da-da-da-da, about that. Or Rabbi so-and-so who lived there, he said this. And then Rabbi so-and-so interpreted it this way." And so the whole idea was to talk about how much interpretation they had understood, but not so much expressing their own opinions. And in contrast, Jesus must have had this exousia, this freedom to just do what he wanted to. He didn't have the need to quote from this rabbi or this teacher. Obviously, he had this direct way of expressing his thoughts, his personal experiences with God in a down-to-earth way, so that even the hardest concept about God, they could grasp. Furthermore, we know in the other parts of the New Testament that Jesus just had this way of connecting with people, and that he used everyday examples and parables and stories in order to encapsulate the message that he was trying to speak. And most of all, we know he spoke from his heart. To speak his opinions just as he pleased. And what I find really interesting about this whole thing, Mark doesn't even bother to tell us what the teaching was about. Did you catch that? He could care less the subject matter. His point is, from the get-go, people are astonished and astounded by this Jesus. He stands apart from all the scribes and the rabbis because he has this deep, intimate understanding of God as if he knows him personally. And of course, we who have been reading the gospel, we of us who have been looking these last 4 weeks in this gospel of Mark, we know Mark has been trying to tell us over and over again, Jesus has the authority to do what he's going to do to bring about healing in this world. The very first line of the gospel, verse 1, says this, "The beginning of the good news of Jesus Christ, the Son of God." Of course he has authority. He's God's Son. Then we have John the Baptist giving a witness who says, "There's one coming more after me who's greater than I am, and he will baptize by the Holy Spirit, God's own Spirit." Then we read where the heavens are torn apart and God swoops down, grabs Jesus at his baptism, and we overhear God say, "You are my Son, my beloved. With you I am well pleased." In a few weeks, when we get to Lent, we're going to read then the story of Jesus being driven out into the wilderness to battle Satan. And of course, we know he comes back victorious. So we know he has authority. But you see, it's one thing to hear authority, and it's an altogether different thing to do authority. And that the people were wowed at his authoritative way of teaching. Can you imagine how they were blown away by what happened next in the synagogue? All of a sudden, right in the middle of the service, this wild man stands up, he's convulsing, he's shouting, he's going nuts, and he challenges Jesus and names him. You are the Holy One of God. You're Jesus of Nazareth. Don't you find it rather ironic that the first person who correctly identifies Jesus in the gospel is exactly the wrong person, the demon? Get the irony there? And you see, Mark, by doing that, introduces a struggle that's throughout his whole gospel, that he weaves throughout the whole thing, about how difficult it is to get to believe in Jesus. The ones who should get him don't, the disciples, they don't get it. And the ones you don't want to get, the demons, they're the ones that actually do. Pause. Yeah. Oh, that's what I get. So, even though the evil spirit tries to be brave, even names Jesus out loud, hoping he could distract or even dissuade Jesus from evicting him, but underneath all his bravado, we can hear he's really scared. And with simple ease and power, Jesus silenced the spirits, casts them out, and sets this poor man free. For not only can Jesus teach with authority, he can actually do authority. And now the game has changed. Something is new. Jesus is a teacher. He's a new Moses, but more, he's a healer. Game changer. Someone who has come into the darkness of life, the brokenness and disease of humanity to bring freedom and liberty, healing and wholeness. And the people say, what is this new teaching? With authority, he commands even the unclean spirits, and they obey him. And thus, the gospel train pulls out of the station. And the word of authority is spread throughout all of Galilee. Now, this first launching of Jesus' public ministry in the Gospel of Mark begs a simple question. Who, where, what is the authority in our lives? For it seems as if we live in a time where we've lost a lot of confidence and trust of authorities in what we now call our postmodern world. We read where trust in the government is at a new time low, never been this low, among the rancor and the animosity between Congress and in this nomination process we're going through. We've lost trust in the church. There's so much anger and disappointment for the sexual abuse scandals and then the attempts to hide it all. There's the hostility between the conservatives and the liberals in the church, taking pot shots at each other. There's a shallowness of prosperity gospel that sometimes pervades the message. There's the indifference to environmental issues or the needs of the poor, and the fact that the church has a hard time walking the talk. And we've lost trust in financial institutions. The excesses of Wall Street, the greed that has caused so much pain in our world. So many of the sources of authority in our lives are institutions, universities, schools, corporations, sports organizations, religious bodies, politicians, and even families have disappointed us, disillusioned us. And for some of us living in this rather pluralistic world may wonder whether Jesus is just one authority among many other faith authorities. After all, what's the big deal? That's why we have the season of Epiphany in the church. Right after we celebrate his birth, now we begin to drill down and ask the question, so what's the big deal with Jesus? We start looking at the very earliest stories about Jesus' ministry, where we enter into the lives of those people who meet him for the first time, and they're going, what's this guy all about? We don't understand him. My goodness, he's not what we thought he was going to be. And you see, that allows us to start asking the question and drilling down in our own lives, what is the authority and what do we understand about Jesus in our lives? And is he the one that I can trust and follow? So I invite you back to continue on this journey of Epiphany. We've just got started. We haven't even made it to the second chapter of Mark yet. We got a long ways to go to hear the story, his story, and look at our story, your story, my story, our story. For you see, Jesus invites us into this journey to Epiphany to teach us about his love, his forgiveness and mercy, and to come into our lives and heal us, heal us. Welcome to the journey. Let's pray. Gracious God, we thank you so much for this. It's a weird story, God. It's strange. If this happened to us today, we wouldn't be able to handle it very well. And yet into our lives, there's other things in our world that just shake us. And we need a sense that you are the base, the foundation of our lives. The final authority, your love, your forgiveness, your ministry into this world to heal it and to heal us. And so, Lord, help us. Help us to keep on asking this question, who you are, as we live our lives, as we make our decisions. Thank you, Lord, for your light. In your name we pray. Amen. Please stand.